Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this third Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read the Gospel from St. John and hear and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center is presenting a Cinco de Mayo fundraiser to remember on Thursday, May 5th. Included are a full banquet, loads of fun, great music, and friends you just haven't met yet. Proceeds will be used to support Our Lady of Corpus Christi. Events begin at 6 p.m. at St. Joseph Hall with mariachi, margaritas, and folklorico, followed by dinner and a silent auction. It's a fundraising fiesta. For complete information regarding tickets and table sponsorships, please visit OurLadyOfCC.org or call them 361-289-0807. And happy Cinco de Mayo!
Mary, Mother of Silence. A women's conference is set for Saturday, May 14th, from 8 a.m. till noon at St. Teresa Catholic Church and Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana in Corpus Christi. Registration begins at 7:30 and will continue after the 8 a.m. Mass. The conference is open to all women 16 and older and is sponsored by the Catholic Daughters of the Americas, Court 2433. Conference presenters will be Deacon Stephen Nolte, Chaplain to Father Thomas Bergler, Monica Gatlin, Senior Administrative Assistant to the Diocesan Curia, and Tammy Romo Alcala, Director of Rachel's Vineyard in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Breakfast and break refreshments will be served. To RSVP for seating or for more information, call or text Irma Rodriguez, 361-774-6660.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. How are you, Barbara?
I'm good.
Continuing Easter.
Yes, and I always hope that even though this will be the third Sunday of Easter, that the Easter lilies are still at the altars at the churches, because they are so beautiful.
They are, as long as they last.
I know, exactly. Well, we have a wonderful gospel again this morning, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word, and it's from St. John.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of Jesus' disciples. Simon Peter said to him, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging their net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of your fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We've had several Gospels that are about fish and food because the disciples were fishermen. But I think this is, as it said, another time when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples and they didn't realize it right off the bat.
Yes, these Gospels over the past couple of days and throughout the last 2 weeks, for real, have really focused on Jesus' appearing to his apostles and them not recognizing him. The issue is always one of faith. Even for us today, it's not easy for us to realize and to proclaim that Jesus is risen from the dead. It certainly is a historical event, but so many years ago, it can remain for us just that, a story. But the fact is that Jesus wanted to be a part of their lives. I am with you always until the end of the age, as he said at the end of Matthew's Gospel. So the reality of Jesus being present is really the heart of the Christian life, that he's present. He's not dead. St. Paul, I always quote this, as St. Paul said, if he's not raised from the dead, then your faith is useless, and my proclamation or my announcing him being risen is of no use. So it is really at the heart. So Jesus's time on earth after his resurrection was to reinforce that presence, that he is there. What I always find interesting in the fish and the stories of the fish and sitting down over a charcoal fire and having some bread and fish together is that Jesus wants to be in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's true for us today. You know, the gospel's not something just for the past. It's not just a historical recounting for us to read and to pass time. It says something to us. The Word of God speaks to us. And when we see Jesus sitting next to Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the Zebedee's sons, John and James, it says he wanted to be with them, not only to give them something to do, but to be a part of their lives. And for us, you know, even today, we have to ask ourselves, is my faith strong enough to believe and to accept? Because faith is a gift. So to accept the fact that Jesus wants to be a part of my life, that has to mean that I let go of some of the controls and that I have all the answers, etc., and let God be God. Pope Francis said something recently in a symposium that he was a part of on the priesthood, and he said to us priests that sometimes it seems like that we priests, and I think this is true for mothers and fathers and workers, we do 90% of the work. Actually, he said 99% of the work, and poor God gets 1%.
Oh, that's great.
And pretty much telling us we need to turn that around.
Right.
And let God do some things in our life and in our world. But we can get so convinced of our own self-worth, our own value, our own competence, our own talents, and they become so strong in us that it overtakes the fact that God wants to be a part of our lives too. Even in a given situation, I know there's many problems everywhere, personal problems, family problems, worldwide problems, mm-hmm. with the wars,
right.
Especially in the Ukraine, in Ukraine. We don't let God have a part of that. We're going to go in there and take care of it. The problem with the world is we've lost God. We've lost the sense of God's presence. And so the fact, the mere fact, the beautiful fact, the simple fact of God sitting down on the side of the shore of Lake Tiberias with his apostles, with Jesus, it's moving to say he wants to be a part of our life. He wants to sit down with us and listen to us, speak to us, but mainly just be with us. And I think that's really the wake-up call of Easter, is that God just wants to be with us. Let's let him do that.
Mm-hmm. I've heard one of the teachers at the school, after we're done with Mass, weekly Mass, she'll say, as a moment of reflection, she'll say, let's thank God for giving us the gift of himself in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really listen to that, mm-hmm. it's kind of an aha moment for me, mm-hmm. because that's very true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know I've taken it for granted sometimes, but it really makes me think and reflect on that, the gift of himself.
Yeah, I think for all and for myself, I mean, I know sometimes before I have to do something very difficult, I just stop and not recite a prayer, but to acknowledge that God is in my presence, that I'm in his presence, that he's with me, to watch over my words, to my thoughts. And, of course, sometimes I take over. I certainly, any of us should admit that. But it's the fact that just that recognition, that awareness is so important for us. I think many forms of prayer are just awareness, the prayer of awareness that he's here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not to take him for granted. And I think that's what's beautiful about this Easter season.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, so there's many things that as we continue to move forward and listen to the gospel over the next few weeks, because all of this is Easter season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to be listening in the daily readings, too. I mean, we sometimes, because we focus on the Sunday readings, and some of the daily readings also come up during the Sundays, but there's so much I would encourage everyone listening. Just go to the daily readings. We have a gospel assigned for every day of the year, and they complement the Sunday readings. So in between the two Sundays, just go to the readings that are found on our website, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And just spend time with that, because, as I've said over and over and over and over, God is present also in his word. So taking the load off of our brain and our soul, in other words, that I'm not in control, giving God that moment, that 5 minutes, that 10 minutes, just to read his word, mm-hmm. and let him do the speaking, that's how it works, is to give him the arena and the microphone to speak to us, is by reading his word. It really can, it changes our mentality. As you said, that moment, oh my gosh, thank him for his presence, mm-hmm. and the awareness of his presence. And that is certainly, you know, in the Eucharist as we go, but also in his word, that mm-hmm. And also with each other. I mean, whatever you do to the least, you've done to me.
Right.
So me means Jesus present there, and in a different way, not sacramentally so much, but in a person. But if we're not aware of it, we can just slide right by and miss what he wants to say and to be for us.
Mm-hmm. And there was a longer version of this gospel, and it talked about love. And, of course, we're going to reflect on that in our Word of Life, because mm-hmm. so often our Word of Life does reflect back to mm-hmm. the gospels.
Right, so, right, right.
So it's all about love.
It is. I mean, that's God is love in mm-hmm. definition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God's not a thousand words. He's love.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to understand that and to appreciate that as well is really the beginning of a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. It is. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will come back and read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Every year, the church is called to reflect upon and celebrate youth and young adults. The International World Youth Day celebration takes place every 2 to 3 years. The next one is slated for Tuesday to Sunday, August 1st through 6th, 2023, in Lisbon, Portugal. It's an opportunity for millions of pilgrims from every continent to join with the Holy Father in prayer, worship, and in celebration of the Catholic faith. The Diocese Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry will be holding special events leading up to World Youth Day. If you are interested in going on this pilgrimage, please contact Margie Rivera, 361-882-6191.
It's a small community, but they have a lot of fun, particularly at their annual Spring Festival. Why not partake of the goings-on at St. Francis Xavier Mission, 323 Frio Street in Tynan? Sunday, May 8th, beginning at noon and going till 7 o'clock. There'll be fun for the entire family all day with live music, dancing, folklorico dancers, games, barbecue plates, fajitas, turkey legs, corn fellowship, and just a good time. To hear more about it, call 361-207-1944.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, it's the first Sunday of May and the first day of May, and we have another wonderful word of life to reflect on for this month.
The word of life for the month of May comes from the 13th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and it's one that we read during the Triduum on Holy Thursday when Jesus gathered around his apostles with the Eucharist. But in addition to that, he also washed their feet, and they were arguing who was the greatest, and he gave them a commandment, and this commandment is specific to his disciples. It's not the go out and serve people, to love your neighbor, but to love each other. And that's unique for Christianity, and I don't think we've all kind of caught on to that. Right. But it is a commandment that we love each other who share the faith and share in the Eucharist together. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. These words are said during the Last Supper. Jesus was at table with his disciples and had just washed their feet. A few hours later, he would be arrested, condemned to death, and crucified. When time is short and the end is approaching, the most important things are said, and a person's last testament is left. St. John's Gospel does not give an account of the institution of the Eucharist during the Last Supper. In its place is the washing of the feet. This sheds particular light on our understanding of the new commandment. Jesus first does something and then teaches. And for this reason, his word has authority. The commandment to love our neighbor was already present in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself, from Leviticus. Jesus highlights a new aspect of this, which is reciprocity. In fact, mutual love is what creates the Christian community and makes it stand out. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. The roots of this commandment are in divine life itself, in the Trinitarian dynamic in which the Son of God has enabled men and women to share. Focolare founder Chiara Lubich illustrated this by using an image that can enlighten our understanding. Quote, "When Jesus came on earth, he came from heaven. Just as migrants go to a distant country, adapt to their new environment, they also bring their own customs and often still speak their own language. In a similar way, Jesus adapted to life here on earth because he was God. He brought the life of Trinity on earth with him, and that life is mutual love. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." Here we enter into the heart of Jesus' message, and this takes us back to the newness of life that was experienced in the first Christian communities, which can still be the hallmark of all our groups and associations today. In an environment where reciprocity is a living reality, we understand the meaning of our existence. We find the strength to go on in time of pain and suffering. We are supported through the inevitable difficulties of life, and we experience joy. We face so many challenges every day: the pandemic, polarization, poverty, and conflict. Let us imagine for a moment what would happen if we were able to put this word of life into practice in our daily lives. We would see new opportunities opening up, and the plan for humanity would unfold before our eyes, giving hope. Nothing is stopping us from reawakening this life in ourselves and rekindling relationships of fraternity that extend throughout the world. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Martha is a young volunteer who helps prisoners to study for university exams. She says, "The first time I stepped into a prison, I met people with fears and fragilities. I tried to build a relationship with them that was firstly professional, but also friendly, based on respect and listening. I soon realized that I was not only helping the prisoners, but I was also being helped by them. Once, when one of the students was preparing for an exam, someone in my family died, and the student's conviction was confirmed by the Court of Appeals. We were both in a very dark place. During the lessons, I could see how much pain there was inside of him, which he was able to share with me. Bearing the weight of that pain together helped us to move forward. When the exam was over, he came to thank me, saying that he could not have done it without me. While one life in my family had ended, I felt I had saved another. I realized that reciprocity makes it possible to create real relationships with friendship and respect."
You know, I've said this to you over the years. You know, I always like when they have an example at the very end, you know, that helps us relate. You know, sometimes some of the more complex words of life, this one is relatively easy, may not be easy to implement, but it's easy to read. I was especially stuck, Bishop, when they talked about we face so many challenges every day about the pandemic. And I found that through that time that people were loving each other more. Even though they had to be away, they were trying to do what they could to help other people out. And it seemed like that commandment really came into play. At least that was my observation.
Yeah, and I think, again, there's a distinction here because we're all called to love each other and people we don't know. And certainly that's true. We see it over and over. And even during the war that's going on now, we see on the television people, you know, from one country or another reaching out to each other. And that's certainly the commandment. But this commandment's a little bit different. And the word reciprocity, which I heard somebody reading it who's a very intelligent person, and they stumbled over it, didn't know how to pronounce it, and probably don't know what it means. And it took me a while, too, when I first encountered it. But reciprocity means give and receive. So one thing is to give love, support, help to others, which is, you know, the Good Samaritan and these beautiful gospels. But in this moment, when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he said to the 12, "You love each other." So it's a little different. I don't know if you get the nuance of it, but that Peter, you love John. John, you love Peter. You help each other. And this is what a marriage is all about. This is what friendship is all about. So it's not just helping those that are in need and I may never see again, which is our duty as well, to see Jesus' presence in them. But this commandment is what we call the third commandment of love. The first is to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. At the Last Supper, Jesus, and it says here that it was a unique moment that Jesus said, love one another. Because that's what builds the community. Because sometimes, I mean, I've, you know, done many, I remember many years ago, I was telling a story not too long ago of being called to, when I was in a school setting during Christmas, there was an earthquake in southern Italy, and some were invited to go and help. And so I went, and, you know, I helped many people. I loved many people, but I'll never see them again. So that's our Christian duty and calling. Here it's saying it's a little more challenging because it's a more permanent establishment of love, to live in a community of love, to live in a neighborhood of love, in a parish of love, where they're always there so they don't go away. you know, or I don't see them again, I do see them. So this is where feelings start coming up. This is where offenses start happening. This is where we build up walls because we're in a relationship. When we love someone that's in need, we may not build up a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. This is about relationship. So that reciprocity, which means to receive and give and receive on a constant basis is really the command here, which we can understand in the Eucharist that is given at the same time, although John doesn't recount the institution of the Eucharist because Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already done so. Mm-hmm. But around that sacrament of the Eucharist is the sacrament of love, the sacrament of unity, as so many have called it through the centuries. So this community is built around that Eucharistic moment, and that's what we're called to do too today. And I think it's the greater challenge where there's so much generosity, as you said, that is coming forth in these disasters that are everywhere, and we can't ignore them. They're everywhere. But what we really need to focus on as well, and the real challenge, is to love one another. That's the hard part.
Reciprocal love.
Reciprocal love, to give and to receive.
And that's families, workplaces.
Right.
Anytime we're with our loved ones.
Right. And that's hard because that's the committed love, you know, that it's ongoing. It's a committed love. And that's Jesus committed himself to us and asked his disciples, his apostles, to do the same so that they could witness to his presence.
You're right. So that is the challenge. Well, it's a beautiful reflection for us for the month of May. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
May your people exalt forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of that day of resurrection, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.